Okay, so I think it's time to move on. And I was going to write this book, and I get to about here, and my publisher says, if you're going to write about hate, you got to write about the Holocaust. And I told him I can't do it. And the reason I couldn't do it is for two reasons. One of them is I really strongly objected to the word "the," because at the same time that the Nazis were killing Jews, they were killing Roma, Gypsies, they were killing Slavs, Russians, they were killing intellectuals, homosexuals, anarchists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists. I'm sure I'm leaving off a lot of groups. At the same time, the Japanese were systematically killing Chinese. You go back 15 years, you get Turks killing Armenians. You go forward 10 years, you get Americans killing Koreans. 20 years, Americans killing Vietnamese. It's like, so I can't use the word "the." And then the other reason I couldn't write about it is because there's been so much good stuff written about it. Just, you know, Viktor Frankl, Primo Levi, Zygmunt Bauman, Eric Fromm, Raoul Hillenburg, just good stuff. And what can I say that's new? And then I finally remembered something that a friend of mine said to me, which was that Hitler's big mistake was that he was about 100 years too soon, because society and technology hadn't progressed to the point where anyone could achieve the level of control that Hitler and the Nazis wanted. I mean, Hitler didn't have fingerprint technology, much less face recognition software. And I'm sure you know the thing about the Super Bowl a couple years ago, where everybody who went in, they scanned their face because they were looking for chemical company CEOs to get them for poisoning the planet. They were looking for people who'd written bad checks. Hitler did not have an army. The Wehrmacht couldn't even fight on two fronts, much less. How many countries is the U.S. military in? I think it's like 120, or maybe that's McDonald's. I don't know, I get them confused. Oh, by the way, in 2000, which was under Clinton, not Bush, the United States military came out with their Joint Vision 2020 statement, which is their vision for the next 20 years. And what they stated was that their goal, this is them, this is not some commie like Chomsky or something, what they actually stated that their goal is, quote, full spectrum domination. It's like, that's really all there is to say about any of this. Thank you very much. Good night. What else? GPS scares the hell out of me. Oh my God, and there's this thing. Right now they cost about 5 cents a piece. They're going to put them down. As soon as they get them to a penny a piece, they're going to put little chips in basically every consumer item you buy. So when you go into a store, it'll broadcast who you are, how much you paid for it. And this isn't even the feds. This is stores, so they can serve you better. You know, because if you paid, you know, $30 for a shirt, then they'll steer you to the $30 shirt section. Wink, wink. So the point is that that level of control that Hitler wanted could not yet be achieved. Okay, I need to say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say two things, and then I'm going to read a short thing, a long thing, and then two short things. Okay? Okay, so the things I need to say, first off, if you perceive the world in utilitarian fashion, the world will congeal for you into four groups. Well, what I need to say before that is the end point of civilization, the end point of utilitarian worldview, is assembly line mass murder. If you perceive the world in utilitarian perspective, that is, how can I use everything, the world congeals for you into four groups. The first group is those, the exploiters. It's those who have the right to consume everyone around them. Okay? And it's their job to appear very much like human beings. The second group are those to be exploited. And this is from the perspective of those in power. And it's best if you can get them to exploit themselves through the rhetoric of production. What's wrong with you? Why don't you get a job? Why aren't you a productive member of society? You must be lazy. And if that doesn't work, then there's always the point of a gun. And the third group, which by the way is the purpose of education, really, is to brainwash kids to prepare them, to break their wills sufficiently for lives of painful employment. The second group, those to be exploited. The third group is those who resist. And what you want to do with them is you want to eliminate them in as spectacular a fashion as possible. That's the theater of terror. That's why lynchings were so often grotesque and so public, is that if my neighbor is now hanging long-necked from a tree, I'm probably going to go ahead and give the buyers the price. I'm not sell my produce at the price that the buyers are going to give me. Or, you know, if you see enough people beaten up by black-clad armored policemen, you might think, I think I want to watch football this weekend. And the fourth group is those who are simply extra. And basically, they're on land that you want, and So what you need to do with them is just get rid of them in as inexpensive a manner as possible. It's great if you can, well, that was the American Indians, that's still the indigenous world over. That was the Jews and Slavs and Russians. That was the Chinese. That's the Palestinians. That's anybody who's on land that you deserve and that you can put to better use. And once again, you get rid of them inexpensively as possible. It's best, you know, if you can, if they'll just starve, that's great. That's the best of all. You might have to do some little shooting here and there, but once again, just get rid of them. Doesn't matter. That's almost all the natural world. That's the trash fish, the trash trees, anybody who's in our way. Got to get rid of them because we can. It's much better. I mean, it's a decadent old growth forest. You know, it's much better if we can make it productive. Okay, so that was the one thing. The other thing I had to say before I read the big section is, I have to read a small section, which is in front of the gas chambers and crematoria were well-kept lawns and flower gardens. Often as those who were about to die arrived, they would hear light music, played by an orchestra of young and pretty girls, all dressed in white blouses and navy blue skirts. The men, women, and children were told to undress so they could be given showers. They were told, most often pleasantly, to move into the room where they would soon die. As Zygmunt Bauman observes, rational people will go quietly, meekly, joyously into a gas chamber, if only they're allowed to believe it's a bathroom. Now the big section, which isn't that big. Unless it's stopped, the dominant culture will kill everything on the planet, or at least everything it can. Each Holocaust is unique. The destruction of European Jewry didn't look like the destruction of the American Indians. It couldn't because the technologies involved weren't the same, the targets weren't the same, and the perpetrators weren't the same. They shared motivations in certain aspects of their socialization, to be sure, but they weren't the same. Similarly, the slaughter of Armenians and Kurds by Turks didn't and doesn't look like the slaughter of Vietnamese by Americans. And just as similarly, the Holocaust of the 21st century won't, and do not already, look like the great Holocaust of the 20th. They can't because society has progressed. And every Holocaust looks different depending on the class to which the observer belongs. The capital H Holocaust looked far different to high-ranking Nazi officials and to executives of large corporations, both of whose primary social concerns would have been how to maximize production and control, that is, how to most effectively exploit human and non-human resources, than it did to good Germans. The Holocaust looked different to good Germans than it did to those who resisted, whose main concerns may have been how to bring down the system. And it looked different to those who resisted than it did to those who were considered Untermenschen, whose main concerns may have been staying alive, or failing that, dying with dignity. Manifest destiny looked different to Indians than it did to J.P. Morgan. American slavery looked different to slaves than it did to those whose comforts and elegancies were based on slavery. What will the great Holocaust of the 21st century look like? It depends on where you stand. Look around. If you're in group one, your postmodern Holocaust will be at most barely visible and at least a price you're willing to pay, as Madame Albright said about killing Iraqi children. The Holocaust will probably share similarities with other Holocausts as you attempt to maximize production, and as when necessary, you attempt to eradicate dissent. This means the Holocaust will look like a booming economy beset by shifting problems that somehow always keep you from ever reaching the promised land. The Holocaust will look like numbers on ledgers. It'll look like technical problems to be solved, whether those problems are increasing your access to necessary resources, dealing with global warming, calming unrest on the streets, or figuring out what to do about too many unproductive people on land you know you could put to better use. The Holocaust will look like houses with gates, limousines with bulletproof glass, and a military budget that can never stop increasing. It'll feel like economics. It'll feel like progress. It'll feel like technological innovation. It'll feel like civilization. It'll feel like the way things are. If you're in the second group, you'll continue to be co-opted into supporting a system that doesn't serve you well. Perhaps the Holocaust will look like a new car. Perhaps it'll look like eating a bar of chocolate. I believe that 60% of the chocolate in the world is tainted by slavery. I think it's 60%. Perhaps it'll look like lending your talents to a major corporation, or more broadly toward economic production, so you can make a better life for your children. Perhaps it'll look like working as an engineer for Shell or on an assembly line for GM. Maybe it'll look like basing a person's value on her or his employability or productivity. Maybe it'll feel like continuing to do a job you hate and that requires so little of your humanity, because no matter how you try, you never can seem to catch up. If you're in the subsection of the third group who might someday resist but don't know where to put your rage, the Holocaust might look like armed robbery, auto theft, assault. It might look like joining a gang. It might look like needle tracks down the insides of your arms might smell like the bitter, vinegary stench of tar heroin. Maybe it smells minty strong like menthol, like the sweet smell of crack brought into your neighborhood at the behest of the CIA. Or maybe not. Maybe it's the unmistakable smell of the inside of a cop car and a vision through that rear window of a little girl eating an ice cream cone, with the knowledge that never in your life will you see that sight again. Maybe it looks like Pelican Bay or Marion or San Quentin or Leavenworth, or maybe it feels like a bullet in the back of the head and leaves you lying on the streets of New York City, Cincinnati, Seattle, Oakland, LA, Atlanta, Baltimore, DC. If you remember the subsection of group three already working against the centralization of power, against the system, then maybe from your perspective, the Holocaust looks like rows of black clad armored policemen that smells like tear gas. Maybe it looks like lobbying a Congress you know has never served you. Maybe it looks like the destruction of place after wild place and feels like an impotent sharp as a broken leg. Maybe it looks like staring down the barrel of an American-made gun in the hands of a Colombian man wearing American-made camo fatigues, knowing that your life is over. For those of the fourth class, the simply extra, maybe it looks like the view from just outside the chain-link fence surrounding a chemical refinery. Maybe it smells like Cancer Alley. Maybe it looks like children with leukemia, children with cancer of the spine, children with birth defects. Maybe it feels like the grinding ache of hunger that's been your closest companion since you were born. Maybe it looks like the death of your daughter from starvation, the death of your son from diphtheria. Or maybe it feels like nothing. Maybe it sounds like nothing. Looks like nothing. What does it feel like to be struck by a missile in the middle of the night? A missile traveling faster than the speed of sound, a missile launched 1,000 miles away. Maybe it feels like salmon battering themselves against dams, monkeys locked in steel cages, polar bears starving on a dwindling ice cap, hogs confined in crates so small they cannot stand, trees falling to the chainsaw, rivers poisoned, whales deafened by sonic blasts. Maybe it feels like the crack of tibia under the unforgiving jaws of a leg-hold trap. Maybe it looks like the destruction of the planet's life support systems. Maybe it looks like the final conversion of the living to the dead. As much as I cannot help but see the similarities between prisons and concentration camps, it seems to me a grave error to count on Zyklon B dispensing showers to mark the new Holocaust. Perhaps the new Holocaust is dioxin and polar bear fat, metamsodium in the Smith River. Perhaps it comes in the form of decreasing numbers of corporations controlling increasing portions of our food supply, until as now, three huge corporations control more than 80% of the beef market, and seven corporations control more than 90% of the grain market. Perhaps it comes in the form of these corporations and the governments which provide the muscle for them, deciding who eats and who doesn't. Perhaps it comes in the form of so much starvation we cannot count the dead. Perhaps it comes in the form of all of these and many others I couldn't name even if I were able to predict. But this I know. The pattern has been of increasing efficiency in the destruction and increasing abstraction. Andrew Jackson himself took the scalps of the Indians he murdered. Heinrich Himmler nearly fainted when 100 Jews were shot in front of him, which was one reason for the increased use of gas. Now, of course, it can all be done by economics. And this I know too. No matter what form it takes, most of us won't notice it. Those who notice will pay too little attention. We will follow the rules laid down by Noah and his remaining sons. We will walk backward to not see our father's nakedness. It doesn't matter how great the cost to others, nor even to ourselves, we will soldier on. We will, ourselves, walk quietly, meekly, into whatever form the gas chambers take, if only we're allowed to believe their bathrooms.